I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection. What is the homework problem in your house, Connection families? Are the little darlings being bent out of shape by the backpack load? Are they being dulled by the drudgery of all that midnight math? Or is it maybe just the opposite, that you'd love to force some substantial learning into the home life of kids rattling between computer games and sports, between the girlfriend's house and the after-school job? Do our kids have too much homework or too little? That's the first question. Do we know what makes it valuable? Is first grade too early to start? Are teachers passing the buck here and heaping the homework burden on little kids? Or do you want to pull out the old Abe Lincoln by candlelight pictures and send the kids back to their rooms until they finish Middlemarch and master the principal parts of another 50 Greek verbs? The argument is out there in the news magazines, and it's in here on The Connection this hour, about homework. Etta Kralovec's new book argues that homework disrupts families, overburdens children, and limits learning. Janine Bumpershaw, in her book, makes the right homework crucial to learning skills and discipline for real life. They've both got educational and parental credentials for completely opposite points of view. Connection listeners, you're the reality check. The phone is 1-800-423-8255. Help them out. What did homework do for you compared, say, to band practice or watching television or mowing lawns? And what's the real load that your kids are carrying today? 1-800-423-TALK. Etta Kralovec, kick off here. What's wrong with homework?
Thanks, Chris. Well, I think that we've been debating, actually, Janine and I, last night at Harvard, so this is somewhat of a continuation of our debate last night.
Up from Harvard, we call it, yeah.
Is that right? So our thesis, not Janine's and mine, but my co-author John Buell and myself, is that homework punishes poor kids for being poor, who don't have the resources in the home to be able to complete the homework assignments on an equitable basis.
Now, are we talking poverty? Should we give them some money and then tell them to do the homework? Or are we talking poverty or homework here?
Well, I don't think in this case of schooling you can divide the two, because poor kids are in public schools that have homework policies that actually serve to punish them because they don't have the resources in the home to complete that work. I think we also would like to look at the question of how homework intrudes into the educational agenda that American parents have for their own children. Most parents now are concerned that they don't have time to participate in religious instruction with their kids, to give their kids the kind of educational character development, ethical training that they want to, because they're competing or completing the schoolwork with the kids. I think we're also concerned about the interference in child's development that homework seems to create. Kids are spending way too much time in very narrow academic activities, reading and writing and arithmetic, while, and I think you mentioned this, Chris, the music, the art, the development of the whole child sort of goes undeveloped and unexpressed.
Okay, but you've doubly confused me here. You're saying that poor kids are poor, which is one matter, but also parents don't have time in a busy world to do the kind of value modeling and religious training, much less homework helping. So what, drop homework?
Well,
what's the logic here?
The logic here is that that there is a certain amount, and quite a bit amount, of work that needs to be done, schoolwork, and that work is best done in the during the school day under the direction of a professional teacher, where all children have access to educational resources. So while I think that good homework is an essential part of an academic program for all kids, that work should be done as schoolwork. And if that means lengthening the school day a bit, if that means restructuring the classroom time, so be it. But that work needs to be done in a place where all kids have access to equal access to educational resources. So yes, homework activities, yes, independent work, yes, research, yes, drill and practice. Where should it be done? In the school, not in the home.
Do homework in school, in short.
Yes.
Janine Bumpershaw, what make the case for homework?
As much as I admire Etta's thesis and her...
Admire her too much, no.
Okay, I won't.
You're here to disagree with her.
I find her argument to be very thin. I'm very, very uncomfortable with any argument that suggests that we ought to lower our standards and expectations for poor families, for ethnic minority families living in poverty, because they are poor. The notion that poor families are unable to help their children with homework is true for some families and not true for other families. At the Harvard Graduate School of Education, we are a faculty and a student body that is devoted to working with urban children and their parents. I have been researching achievement motivation, the beliefs that children have about schooling and learning in Boston's public and Catholic schools, schools where many of the children live below the poverty line. And these are schools, public and Catholic, where students are excelling, where teachers expect the most, where there is homework. I'm not saying that there's so much homework that everyone collapses at the end of the day, but certainly there is homework. There is not one Catholic school teacher in this city who will acknowledge that a child can fail, because these are teachers who work and work and work and work until children succeed.
What does homework have to do with it? I mean, very specifically, the business of taking the books home, sitting by yourself in some confusion with trigonometry or Latin, and grinding it out.
Well, in my mind, the value of homework, especially in the elementary school years, while it may not be intellectual, in other words, there may not be any value added intellectually to doing homework in the elementary school years, in my mind, the true value is motivational. And what I mean by that is that when children begin early on to have homework, no matter what it is, in kindergarten, first grade, a worksheet, whatever, they learn that they have a responsibility toward their teachers, their peers, themselves, their parents, to complete something that has been asked of them. As they grow through the elementary school years, those demands get a little bit bigger and a little bit more complex, and they need the time, the years in elementary school, to develop the motivational strategies that they're going to need desperately when they get to middle school, and homework becomes much more complex and much more needed as schoolwork becomes more complex and the demands that the schools make on children become more complex.
Does the value of the homework ever get really substantive, or is it all a kind of motivational exercise, you know, cranking your brain so that it'll be there when you need it sometime?
My sense is that in early elementary school, kindergarten, first, second grade, for example, it may be more motivational than it is academic, but certainly, as my colleague Harris Cooper has shown, by the time children get to middle school, there is a strong and positive correlation between the amount of homework that children do and academic achievement. And that's simply because it is impossible to understand and to take in fully the concepts that are conveyed during the school day.
Heather Karlovic, do you want to disagree with that?
I want to disagree with a number of things. First of all, I want to be very clear about the problem of poor kids. To say that poor kids can't do homework is not to condemn them to lower standards. It's to say the schools have a responsibility to provide learning environments for poor kids so they can reach high levels and high standards of academic
achievement. Can I just say, that sounds to me like a completely interesting but different argument. We ought to have much longer school days, especially for poor kids, but that's not an argument against homework, is it?
The argument against homework is that asking kids to do work at home who don't have the home environment to support that work is, in fact, a schooling practice.
Why would you abolish homework because some kids aren't able to do it? No, why not provide a different way and place to encourage them to do what's valuable?
That would be great. And if the schools want to lengthen the school day, if they want to provide study opportunities for kids in school, that would be fabulous. But what we're saying is the work should not be done at home. But I want to get to a couple of other points about the motivational issue. I think that Janine lives in the rarefied world of Harvard University, and I think that's probably very nice for you, and it's very nice for the public schools and Catholic schools that have an opportunity to have authentic connections to Harvard and have the resources of Harvard University. I, however, work with rural, poor kids and kids who are in Job Corps centers in New England. These are the kids who didn't have the opportunity to be in the best schools that work with Harvard University. These are the Boston kids who were in jails in Boston from the time they were 14. These kids have a very different experience, and homework for them, and I've talked to hundreds of them, was not motivational. Homework for them taught them self-loathing self-loathing, it taught them self-hatred, and it taught them that they were not as good as the kids who had parents at home who could help them with homework. So while Janine's world may be a world where homework is develops motivational training, the world that I work in, it develops a very different set of skills.
We want to get your kids into Janine's world, or that's where they presumably...
Well, maybe. I don't know.
That's the direction they want to move in, not the other way, right?
But we can't get my kids into Janine's world by telling them to do homework, because many of my kids' parents are unable to help their kids.
I want to go back a step. As your book does, you have a sort of fascinating history of homework. There seemed to be a general consensus 100 years ago that it was an all-around bad thing. And I'm sure parents felt it interfered with, you know, getting in the crops or milking the cows, et cetera. But the big picture is that it was considered dangerous, practically, until Sputnik, until we entered a world of international intellectual scientific competition, and worse, entered this 90s era of universal overwork. Homework, you make out, is the kind of revenge that overworked parents take on their little monsters just to get even.
Well, I don't think it's only parents. I mean, we've spoken all over the country for the last few years, and one of the strongest arguments that people make about homework is that it prepares kids for longer working days, which we all know that Americans are working. But I just want to ask Janine one question. Janine, I want you to come clean on this issue of homework and academic achievement. Your colleague and mine, Harris Cooper, gives more caveats about the problems of the research that claim is based on, about the scanty research, the small studies, the inconclusive evidence. So because doing homework is now a politically correct thing to say, because school reform based on homework is school policy and school reform on the cheap, it is not politically powerful right now to question the practice, but I want you to acknowledge, as a professional educator, that the research that claim is based on is very problematic, and I want you to talk about your own methodology issues that you raise in your book about causality and social science research, about the problems of correlational studies. Come on, Janine, I want you to really talk about the claim you make, because you and I both know that it is a pretty questionable claim.
Janine, I want to hear the scientific argument, but I want to hear from Connection listeners, too, in the real world, out of their own experience and watching their kids. Do kids, in fact, have to do more homework today than they used to? Is it too much? I mean, are these kids that we often think of as kind of couch potatoes and, latchkey do-nothings, are they, in fact, being overworked? 1-800-423-8255 makes the homework connection. Or 1-800-423-TALK. Janine, it was your turn.
Yes. Harris Cooper has done some of the most well-respected research in the area of the relationship between homework and academic achievement. And what he has found is that in the elementary school years, it doesn't really help all that much to enhance children's academic achievement. But as children get older, in middle school and in high school, it's absolutely necessary in order to reinforce what is going on during the day. And so there is no question that there is a strong and positive relationship between the assignment of homework in middle and high school and academic achievement, especially as SATs and other standardized tests for college entrance loom in the future.
What is the connection between homework and the rule of the school test, the MCAS, much disputed in Massachusetts? I mean, Does homework go with the test them thinking? Would you grant that or not, Janine?
To the extent that teachers are preparing children for the MCAS, yes. If they are asking children to write sample essays or essays, if they're asking them to write essays in the evening to prepare them for what they're going to have to do on the fourth grade test, yes, there is a relationship, and I think that's a smart thing for teachers to be doing. It's also important to acknowledge that at the Graduate School of Education at Harvard, we do not work with the best schools. We work with the worst schools. We work with the schools most in need of our students who can come and help tutor, with faculty who can help develop parent-teacher partnerships, which many educational researchers have acknowledged is critical in order to enhance children's academic achievement.
Could I ask you, just out of curiosity, Janine, and also Etta, what was your homework experience as a kid?
I had homework in elementary school. I don't recall that it was terribly burdensome. We had much more homework in high school, and I did more work than I've ever done in my life in college.
Etta?
Well, frankly, I came from a family with a working mother, a single working mother with four children. And from the time I was 15, I worked after school. And I worked from about 3 o'clock until about 10:30. And ironically, I was working at a tax collecting office. And so I did math all day in the tax office on people's tax returns. And I was flunking math in school because I didn't have time to do my math homework. But I don't know, I could get through the H&R tax form, okay?
I grew up doing homework religiously, and I'm still doing it. It's a terrible habit. I wish I'd, mastered a musical instrument. I wish I'd mastered modern foreign languages. I wish I'd probably had more fun socially in an all-boys school that was terribly devoted to homework. But anyway, here we go. 1-800-423-8255. Too much homework out there, Connection listeners, or not enough? 1-800-423-TALK. Wendy is on the line.
Hi.
Well, welcome.
Hi. I'd like to make a comment about not so much the amount of homework as the quality of the homework. Both of your people have made comments that it was really about the amount of homework that prepared kids to sit by themselves and study. And I really think that I have a six-year-old who's in the second grade in Cambridge, and when she brings home homework that really has a content to it, she sits and thinks about it, and I can see her understanding her own mind and being very proud of what she produces, and that knowledge sticks with her. And I think when you're talking about preparing for a life of learning, that's the kind of thing that ends up being important. It doesn't have to be every night. It doesn't have to be a certain number of hours. But if you're given homework that engages your mind so that you learn to know your own mind on your own, which is why I think homework at home is sort of important rather than always in a group or always at school. When she's given busy work, fill out this worksheet or just rewrite the spelling words, she literally almost can't focus. And she's
Wendy, that's
so
very, very interesting. But now Who gives the good assignments and who gives the bad ones?
Well, I think it's she's in she's in the second grade, so she's just in one classroom, and I think that sometimes the teachers just have more creativity and they come up with, it's the same teacher. It's just sometimes there's sort of this regular, okay, Tuesday night is spelling night, and kids have to learn to spell, and that's, you do have to do that. But I think that kind of busy work stuff, it doesn't really matter where that's done. It can be done in school. It can be done anywhere. You sort of do this rote memorization, and everyone has to do a little bit of that. But I think that the interesting assignments where a child is forced to engage with his own mind is something that's really valuable. And in some ways,
you make a great case. I mean, for the great assignment, anyway. Etta, what's wrong with that? It sounds dreamy.
Well, it is dreamy, but one of the problems with it is that actually, to know your own mind, you have to have an opportunity and the freedom to explore subjects on your own. And dictated homework that is actually knowing the teacher's mind and the state mandated curriculum and the test material doesn't really help you know your own mind, does it? People learn their own mind, and they can explore their own minds by having the freedom and the opportunity to take intellectual trips, if you will, through material so that they can come to their own understandings. And that is best done in an unstructured environment where the kid is free to do that.
But now I think you were the one who made the point that poor children are at a disadvantage. And, it's one thing if a child comes home and has an environment rich in stuff that he can explore, but it's that child who doesn't have that stimulation, who doesn't know how to create his own maze through which to go and explore new things, that that needs a structure. And I don't, you know, I agree that if homework is just simply a way for a teacher to get off her back, you know, requirements and things like that, and I kind of disagree with this all the standardized testing. But my experience so far, at least of schools here in Cambridge, is that the teachers really do think about how do you get a child to engage his own mind or her own mind. And you know, when you set up a, I remember being a child and being given assignments about geometry. You know, here's these triangles and here's this multiplication thing. Go home and figure it out. And without that assignment, I wouldn't have had that moment where I went, wow, I get it. I really get it.
Wendy, point taken. What's wrong with structure, Etta?
No, I love structure, but I just think that that work should be done in a school setting with trained professional teachers who can actually help scaffold new knowledge for students. You know, learning is not something that's best done by itself. All of the educational research on teaching and learning tells us that learning is a social activity and that teachers, in order to be good teachers, need to scaffold new knowledge for students. The triangles you talk about are best played with under the direction of a trained teacher who can help kids come to new insights.
Janine?
I think Wendy has made a very good point. The children do need guidance now and again in order to explore the things that they might be interested in. And it's important to note that it isn't only teachers who scaffold, and scaffolding means basically guided instruction. Mothers and fathers guide instruction every single day for their children in ways that they are not even aware of. When you come back from the market and ask your children to put the canned goods away, you are helping them learn the rudiments of categorization, classification. It is not only the so-called trained professional teacher who can help children scaffold knowledge. Parents do that every day in a million ways.
1-800-423-8255, the homework argument. Frank is on the line. Hello, Frank. Frank, try it again, 1-800-423-8255. Amy, are you there? Amy?
Hi, Christopher.
Welcome.
I last spoke to you about my son Kyle, who was a budding geek when you had Jonathan Katz on. And Kyle flunked.
Has he come into full blossom yet?
Got poor grades last year for not doing homework, even though he could ace the test.
Good
and he
for
would
him.
Say to me, if I can do the work, why do I have to do the homework? If
I hear him.
The material, why do they keep making me do this stuff?
Yeah.
So he doesn't get it. And yet, you know, as a result of that protest, he would get poor grades. Mm. Did very well on projects that engaged
wait a second, now,
in
did
research.
He ace the test or not?
I'm sorry?
Did he ace the test or did he flunk it?
No, he would ace the test.
So why not get good grades?
Mm-mm.
Because he didn't do homework and homework counted for 25 or 30% of the grade.
So what was he doing in the meantime?
Designing websites.
That's good. So he's probably a billionaire.
Not yet. We have hope.
So how do we score young geek?
Well, you know, I think that it's very confusing for kids who say, if I know the material, why do they keep sending me home to drill more?
Well, if
what did Mom say?
I said, that's a good one. I said, you know, this is part of what we have to do in a work environment, is sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do.
Well, I have
it didn't work.
Yes, of course.
Etta says he's right. Janine, is he wrong?
Oh, he's wrong and you're right. And there are times with my own children that they need to do things that they don't want to do. And I think it's foolish to perpetuate the notion, or at least foster the notion, that if you don't want to do them, you don't have to do them because you're a better judge of what you need to do and what you don't need to do. It is a very difficult lesson to learn that I believe needs to be learned early. There are things in life you are going to have to do that you don't want to do, and you're going to have to do them. End of story.
Etta?
I think the difficult lesson that needs to be learned is for educational professionals to take a message here about the standards that they set. If a kid can do the work and pass the exam for them to have their grades lowered because of homework actually might even be an interesting legal challenge, Wendy, that parents in your community can launch against
but
the school.
But no, wait a second. What if this was basketball and he didn't, you know, he's got a great shot and he doesn't want to come to practice?
Well,
I'll be there in the game, and I'll score the point when it's needed.
Well, people can choose to go to basketball. Is that not right?
No. I mean,
well, you can either be on the team or you cannot be on the team. You don't have to be on the basketball
team. If you're going to play in the game, though, you come to practice.
And if you don't come to practice, you get benched. You're out of there.
Well, but you don't. If I'm a student and I don't want to abide by those rules, I don't have to be on the basketball team. I have no choice but to go to public school. And if we're going to say that now we're going to look at educational outcomes, now we're going to hold kids to standards and we're going to test them, and the kids pass the test, and then the same system that is based on tests says, oh, but we're not going to give you the grade you got in this class because you didn't do homework. I think there's a lot of questions that educators need to ask about that particular practice, and I think parents like yourself, Wendy, need to get organized and go to that school and raise that question, because that, frankly, is a bunch of garbage. And one of the problems is that your son and you are going to be in pitch battle over the issue, and your relationship is going to suffer because you have to support a practice that you, frankly, know is a little bit suspect.
Well, what disturbs me is that although Etta makes compelling arguments in her book about equity, what bothers me about the direction of this argument is that what about the kids who do their homework? And why should this boy not be punished in terms of grades for not? What about it's as a pure matter of equity, those who do the work that is required of them ought to be rewarded and not ought to be able to see somebody who doesn't feel like doing it, not doing it, and nothing happening.
Hold it right there. The argument is about homework and whether kids are overburdened or not. Speak for yourself, Connection listeners, parents and kids too. Janine Bumpershaw says, give it to them. Etta Karlovic says it's too much. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston. Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation, empowering people with innovative internet technology and offering dynamic career opportunities at allaire.com. I'm Christopher Light, and this is The Homework Connection.
Oh, baby, I might be a fool, wasting my time about going to school. The way you love me so, I can't do my homework anymore. I can't do my homework anymore.
Whoa, Connection, this is, did you do too much homework in school or too little? And what about your kids? Has the burden shifted? Do you keep buying bigger and bigger backpacks for the little monster? How does he take it? 1-800-423-8255, the homework debate, represented by two eminent educators in our studio. Etta Karlovic, with John Buell, has written a book titled The End of Homework, How Homework Disrupts Families, Overburdens Children, and Limits Learning. Janine Bumpershaw has written almost the opposite take, getting our kids back on track, educating children for the future. 1-800-423-TALK. Every Connection listener has an experience of the homework argument. 1-800-423-TALK is our phone. Ed is on the line.
Christopher, good morning.
Welcome, Ed.
Thank you. I have to say, I too am a survivor of an all-boys school with a very heavy homework load, so I have to say that I'm predisposed to feel like homework is a good thing. I also am a former teacher in both public and private schools, and one of the things that I found is, particularly in the discipline that I taught French, that homework was an essential part of students' ability to be prepared and to contribute in the class, and I tried very hard to make sure that the homework assignments that I gave to students were constructive and were relevant, but what I was shocked to discover is that in the environments where students were used to having a heavy homework load, they were much better prepared to both accept the burden of homework, if you like to call it that, or the responsibility of homework, and were much better able to contribute, to prepare, and to sort of be a part of that active learning process. When I was teaching in a public school, I had to essentially retrain students that there is, in essence, a compact between students and teachers, that there's work that's done in the class and work that's done outside the class to make the class time much more productive.
So you're a homework kind of guy.
I'm definitely a homework kind of guy, but I attach an important caveat to that, which is to say that homework for the sake of homework that has no meaning or no sort of value to the learning process is not useful use of time.
You know,
the homework that I tried to give was homework that either reinforced things that we'd done the day before in class or homework that set up the stuff we were doing the next day. And I found that if students weren't able or willing to do that, if they didn't do that, the whole endeavor, all of our learning, you know, mine as a teacher and that of the students, really disappeared.
Ed Akralovic.
Well, you know, Ed, it certainly is counterintuitive, especially to a language teacher, to think that homework is problematic. But actually, at a number of professional organizations, people that do research on foreign language and learning say that a child sitting alone in their room trying to learn a foreign language, and let's be honest, language is a social activity, is a little bit like trying to ride a bike without the bicycle, that conversation is really important in foreign language instruction. And so a lot of foreign language teachers are trying to figure out how you can help kids learn a language without putting them through all kinds of memorization at night in their rooms alone.
And I would like to add that that I think, much like Wendy, you, with your own students, worked very hard to focus on the quality of homework that you assigned to your kids. And there is no question that class debates and discussions and the kinds of things that teachers are doing more and more now to foster what we like to call deep conceptual understanding are based on students' preparation the night before.
Ed, you want the last word?
I just wanted to say thanks very much. It's just been a really interesting, stimulating discussion. There is no substitute, I think, for exercises that reinforce what happens in the classroom, and there are fewer and fewer ways that students are being forced to reinforce and discipline themselves to put their energy into their learning.
Ed, thank you for calling. 1-800-423-8255. Too much homework, Connection listeners, or too little? 1-800-423-8255. You can join us online at theconnection.org. Al is on the line.
Yes, Chris. Can you hear me?
We can, Al. Thanks for calling.
Well, the wisest person was the last person who just called in. I agree completely with Ed. There is only one problem in the public school system. The teachers are so overcrowded with large numbers of students in the class, large discipline problems, that the amount of time they can actually do to marking homework, responding to the problems that the students have encountered and doing their homework and having the students do it properly is minimized. So therefore, homework that's given that isn't, for which the student receives no feedback other than a check or a non-check, is wasted homework. My own experience runs the whole gamut. I came from...
Wait a sec. That doesn't mean that the homework is wasted. It means that the teacher...
No, the homework is wasted. The homework
No, but the remedy is not to eliminate the homework. The remedy is to get some feedback from the teacher.
Homework involves both. It involves the homework that the teacher has to give, a presumably valid homework lesson. The student has to do it. And then there has to be a response. There has to be a feedback to the homework. If you lose any of those components, the homework fails. I mean, of course, there are people, of course, who don't need any response from anybody. But in general, unless a student knows and knows carefully that they have done a good job, then they're going to fail. And I have experience running from my own situation, having been brought up in a home of immigrants where no one ever gave me any help on homework. No one could even give me help on reading. And my grades generally were lackluster until I had a teacher in a math course who said, unless you do your homework every day, I'm not going to permit you to come into class. And my grades went from, I would say, 80s, 70s, 80s to 99 in advanced algebra courses. So I'm going to tell you, the homework in my... So, in fact...
A man
I've
saved
that,
by homework.
That, furthermore, I've had children. I have children who become quite accomplished who would refuse to do their homework. And I noticed when we went to England on a sabbatical, where he would never do more than an hour of homework, they would not countenance any of that, and his grades remarkably improved, and he's now a medical doctor, all because of homework with feedback.
This is homework made me. Etta, come on. You're laughing.
I am laughing.
Homework saved his life and saved his son.
I think everyone has their own particular homework stories that they love best, Al, and I certainly like yours, and I certainly agree with you that homework that goes uncorrected thoughtfully by a teacher is wasted homework. But I want to touch on a point that you made, which
but beat up the teacher, not eliminate the homework, right?
I think teachers are beaten up on enough. I mean, one of the points that Al was making was the lack of resources for our public schools. And in a recent study by the RAND Corporation, they found that there are three things that are tied to student achievement and higher student achievement levels. Those things are pre-kindergarten education for children, more money for teacher resources in the classroom, and smaller class size. Those are three very expensive school reform packages that actually can improve student achievement. Homework is a cheap school reform proposal that shifts the responsibility from the public school system to the parent.
1-800-423-8255. Lily is on the line.
Hi.
Hello, Lily.
Hi.
Why aren't you in school?
Because my aunt just had a baby last night.
Oh
my word.
Congratulations
indeed. Do you do homework, Lily?
Yeah.
Too much or too little?
Too much.
What grade are you in?
I'm in third grade.
What do they ask you to do?
They ask us to do story problems.
Write an essay on the new baby in the house.
Yeah, and spelling, and my journals and stuff.
Yeah, this sounds good. What's wrong with it?
Well, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I can't have any music lessons and play with my friends that much.
All right, this is the problem. Why? Have you started music lessons?
Not yet.
How much time are you doing, homework of an evening, Lily?
3 hours. So.
No. Seriously?
Uh-huh.
Does your mom help?
Yeah.
What does she think?
She thinks it's too hard, too, and that we should get a little her homework, too.
3 hours of homework in the third grade. This sounds impossible. Just walk us through, tell us what you did on a typical night for three hours.
I had to do my spelling, write my spelling words over again, math, everybody's in my class's story problems, read about 20 pages and stuff like that.
Wow. And you're writing, too?
And writing about biographies and stuff.
My word. What school do you go to, Lily, if I may ask?
Rashi.
Say it again?
Rashi.
Rashi. Aha. And are you learning languages, too?
Yeah.
Like what?
Hebrew.
My word. I don't know if it's the fast track. It's the uphill track.
What?
It's a good track for a lot of kids, Lily.
Yeah.
What do you think, Janine?
Well, it is, personally, I think 3 hours for a third grader is too much. But picking up on the parochial education, which Lily is in a Hebrew school, this is what we tend to find in Hebrew schools, in Catholic schools, in Black Muslim schools, that the amount of work that is given is challenging. And for Catholic schools in particular, not only in Boston, under Sister Ann Dominic, most recently, and now under Sister Kathleen Carr, we find across the nation that the poorest children excel in Catholic schools, do far better than their peers in public schools and in other elite private schools, because the expectation is there that they can do the work, that they can master the material, and that there is no excuse for not being able to do it.
Etta, do you want to speak to Lily's problem, the 3 hours in third grade in a Hebrew school where they're doing everything across the board? She's, and the child feels it's too much, her mother too, apparently?
Lily, I hear you, and I'm sorry you have 3 hours of homework at night, because I think one of the most important things in childhood is to learn how to be a good friend. And it's really hard to learn how to be a good friend when you have a lot of homework. And I think that people need to listen to people like you, Lily, and we need to hear from the children in this society more and more, and less from educational professionals like myself and Janine about what the issues with homework are.
Kids, the phone is 1-800-423-8255. The homework connection. Marie is on the line.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Marie.
Right. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Are you old enough to call a program like this?
I am old enough. I have 3 children.
Okay.
I have a third grader, as a matter of fact, who doesn't have that much homework. But I agreed with Ed, who says that homework that will reinforce what you learn during the day is essential. It is definitely for my third grader. She won't learn this without my helping her. Her advantage is that I'm home and I can help her after school. Where I have a problem with homework is when it gets too creative, because then I think the child only does well if the parent is creative. My sister has a room in her house devoted to crafts. I'm not a creative person. So if my children have to come home and build a castle, for instance, or even a diorama, you know, it's a problem. I'm willing to take them to the craft store, but I don't really have a good idea either. And they have no idea. And I think that's the type of work that should be done in school, where all the children have equal access to the materials. And for the suggestions on how to come alive with creativity. If you're not crafty at home, it's impossible. And I think that the mothers who work on top of it and are not creative, those kids just have no shot. They just have no chance at creating something fabulous and having it compete with the other children.
Well, having survived our second grade Halloween diorama and a run to the craft store, I understand what you are saying, and I also sympathize with you in the sense that I have no creativity myself either. But I find that the kids do, and that when we let the kids do it on their own, get them the orange and black construction paper and let them go at it, they have a very good time doing it. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, in my daughter's class, when they did this in the second grade, everybody came in with a mishmash of shoeboxes that were Halloween related. And one little girl came in with a diorama that was a two-scale reproduction of a Victorian home. And of course, everyone, including the teacher, knew that this had not been done by the child, and that didn't win her any points. I think when we let the kids go at it, they have a good time, and they do what they feel is creative.
Marie, thank you. Etta, here's the wisdom of the website, and it's directed to you.
Uh-oh.
From a devoted connection listener who writes, if you want six-pack abs, you have to do the crunches. There are no shortcuts. What a sorry bunch of excuses. Can we dumb down the program any further? We have parents whining about violence on TV, doing homework. Doing homework is a wonderful alternative. The amount of things to learn is not decreasing. Study and you will learn and become educated. He says we're currently enjoying the alternative. What about just doing the work? Master the material. There's a lot of it out there, more every day. Get busy.
Yes, someone that keeps working on those abs. I hear you about the discipline. And actually, you know, in order for us to strengthen our abs, we have to have some free time in order to engage in some physical activity. And one of the problems with homework is that it's very narrowly focused. And in all due respect to Janine, if she'd done less homework when she was growing up and had more time for creative play, she might be a little more able to help her kids with creative activities in school. Creativity is not something that you can dictate. It is not something that you can learn by doing math problems. Creativity is something that needs a lot of freedom and room for expression. And I think we all know that creative thinking is one of the most important skills that kids are going to need in the 21st century, because we got some stuff we need to deal with.
1-800-423-8255. Hannon is calling from Providence, Rhode Island.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Hannon.
Pretty good. I would like to talk about the fact that so one of you made the comment about how life has hard lessons to learn, and some things in life we just absolutely have to do, and there's just no question about it, like homework. Well, I'd argue that the entire 12 years of school for many, many students are just that, are just 12 years of doing things that you don't want to do, most of it. And what I think it creates is an environment of teaching kids from the time they're very young that life is tough, and most of life is things you don't want to do, and that's how you would be spending your time. And homework is on top of that, your free time. I think that life is not hard. Life is, for the most part, as hard as you choose to make it. And if you make the right choices in life, you can make your life very pleasant and very happy, and it doesn't take a lot of money, and it doesn't take... It doesn't even take a high school...
So what's the remedy? What's the solution you found in terms of educating your kids?
Well, I think that my solution is homeschooling. I don't even homeschool my kids. I unschool my kids. I don't believe in curriculum. I don't believe in... I believe that they will eventually, and they do, come to all the right paths, and then if they don't do that part of trigonometry that they learn in school, I'd say, so what? You know, well, what do you guys know about trigonometry today? Just the fact that you hated it.
This is interesting. So it's all homework, in a sense, in homeschool, but it's not no conventional curriculum.
It's what we like to call child-led learning. They are... there are things that they do that they don't want to do, obviously. They live in the house. However, we don't make their entire life things they have to do that they don't want to do. We have most of it. And what you find is that you guys were talking about creative play and creative thinking. It all comes out of themselves. It all comes out of their creative thinking without anybody telling them what to do and what to think, and they're not being... The most important thing is, many people talk about the kids have to be corrected to learn. The opposite. Kids have to be listened to learn.
Amen.
Hannon, you should be writing a book. Janine, yes. What are his kids missing, if anything?
His kids are... If anything, but I don't find that it's a big to do. His kids are missing the kinds of socialization that goes on day to day in a school environment. But that doesn't bother me. His kids are clearly getting prepared, and this is what we find with children who are homeschooled, that they are more than adequately prepared for the demands of the SATs and college. And if they need to learn trigonometry when the SATs are in their future, then they will. And they are also learning things that they don't want to learn because they've got to learn them. I mean, but he is able to create an environment for them that is much more satisfying than a classroom. But it is not, I mean, I don't want listeners to walk away with the impression that the school day and the homework that children have afterwards creates a living situation that rivals Dickens. I mean, children do a lot of things during the school day that are not academic. They do a lot of things after the school day that are not academic, and there's plenty of time for socialization and schmoozing and playing.
1-800-423-8255. Pete is on the line.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome, Pete.
I'm one of those teachers who is no longer teaching, and I'm not aging, I'm saging. Consequently, I would like to suggest that possibly the most innovative homework assignments that I ever gave while I was teaching in Worcester was on Tuesday nights, if kids would watch Nova and turn in enough notes the next day so that I knew they had watched it, they got credit. And the parents were delighted. I could tell on parent night they would come in, and I realized that I had changed some television viewing habits. You don't have to watch violence on television just to watch television. But it gave a chance for everybody to get some credit for homework. And the kids who didn't need credit, who did well on tests, didn't have to watch it, watched it if they wanted to. That's what I'd like to contribute.
Pete, that's very interesting. How do you score that, Etta?
I think that's great because I think one of the things that parents really need to do with their kids is they need to do some critical TV watching. And one of the ways that we can get around this problem of kids watching TV is to sit down with our kids and to watch the show with them and to actually critique it. And my kids can't stand it when I sit down on the couch with them because they know I'm going to go after the show.
Janine, can watching television count as homework?
Absolutely, and I applaud Pete for realizing that there is an awful lot of good television out there that children can learn an awful lot from.
Janine Bumpershaw and Etta Kralovic, thank you, and Connection listeners for contributing too. For the listeners, the homework assignment is to continue the conversation on our website at theconnection.org. Thank you. I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston. Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation.